says this morning, he died on that cross, and he's in my heart. I'm not going to miss it. And for that this morning, I praise God by giving glory. If you would this morning turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter 96. I want to read there. That passage is not very long. And I'll tell you this morning, I want to talk about the subject, glory due. And that word is glory, D-U-E. In other words, it's due to someone. So if you would this morning, stand with us as we read in the book of Psalms. And we'll read the key verse today, and then we'll let you sit down. So Psalms chapter 96, verse 8 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." Father, this morning I pray, dear God, that your will be done in this service, Lord. Father, asking you today that you just help us in the preaching of thy word. Father, lead us, dear God, we ask this morning through the passages that you've given us. And help us, Holy Father, just to magnify you so that others will see you more than they see any of us. And we'll thank you, Father, and we'll praise you, Father, today in Jesus' blessed and holy name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'm thankful this morning that when I read the Word of God, I understand not just that God sees my sinfulness and wanted to take care of that, but he wanted to give me the opportunity to also worship him and serve him. And when we read these passages of Scripture, a lot of times we may not think about what God is what the Word of God, but God is trying to tell us, and then our responsibilities, our privileges, and even our character that the Bible would help us make up. Glory due is found three times in Scripture. You can put that down as another one of God's wonderful numbers there. And if you're not into biblical numbers, then you won't think much about that, but I am. And I love that, so I'm just thinking this morning about it. But we'll go back and start reading in verse 1. He said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth." Now, I will say this morning, unless you've been saved, you cannot sing a new song. But once you're saved, you can sing that new song. And I think about the song that comes to my mind this morning, "I'm redeemed." And I think about that today because, you know what, I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful this morning for all that he's done for me. And I'm thinking this, all that he has done with me. I'm glad this morning that God chose to do something with me. He didn't just save me and set me on the sideline, but he saved me and called me in to worship him, glorify him, and preach for him. And I'll be honest this morning, the preaching part of it's probably the scariest part of all the things. And I think about how much I fail or I do this or do that. But I'll be honest today, church, I'm just thankful that God chose to use me and God has chose to use you if you'll just be used. You have to be a vessel that allows God to be used in your life. You've got to be willing to let God do something. You know, it's one of those things here that I think a lot of times people make this error and they get saved and then they sit back and say, "Well, if God wants to do something with me, he'll do it." God does not force you into service. God does not force you into praise. God does not force you to testify. God does not force you to go to your prayer closet. God does not force you to read your Bible. God saves you, and then your love and my love for God ought to provoke us to be willing to do those things so that God is glorified in our lives for what he has done. See, God wants us to do these things, but God does not force us to do these things. So when you read the scriptures here, he says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." And I sing that. I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm thankful this morning. He said, "Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day." It's kind of one of those deals there, and I've said it before. I'll say it one more time this morning. If you get up praising God, it's going to be hard to have a bad day. You get up singing glory unto the Lord and worshiping him, it's going to be hard to have a bad day. And that's not to say that the day doesn't get a little rough at times things don't go your way sometimes, because it happens all the time, right? I mean, I think about some things just this week. We called Monday a rough Monday. I mean, it was one of those days where things were rough. I woke up Monday morning, got up, went to work. I was excited. And I say this, I was anticipating hearing back from a supervisor at work, because I'd put in for a job transfer and I wanted to go take this new job. And I mean, I had my mindset of all the things that I could do if I got this position and what I would do in it. And they called me and they talked to me for a few minutes. And in the end, it was me who said, "Nope, I can't do it." You want to talk about something hard? You get your elevation set up, your expectation set up, your determination set up. You have everything up there, and then they say, in order to do this, we're going to have to cut your pay this far. And you say, nope, ain't doing it. That was a sad day for me. It made a rough Monday. Zach and Mariah had put in an offer on a house. They found out Monday that the people who got the house bid a whole lot more than they did. Kind of a sad Monday. And we had to work real long that day, and it was hot that day. I mean, just think about it. Mondays are supposed to be good days, right? Not that Monday. But was it a good Monday? Absolutely. Why? Because God was in control the whole day. And I can remember telling myself and telling the kids and telling Mama, I said, God's got this. God's got this in control. Listen to what God says. And the first thing we do when we start trying to praise God is the devil comes and tries to tell us, well, you know what? If you'd have just done this, or if you'd have done that, or if it had happened this way. And I'll be honest with you, church, the devil will do everything. Why? Because he's the thief that cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take our praise from God. When God tells us, no, it's not a sad day, it's a good day. Because God knows what we don't. And hearing no from God is better than hearing yes from the devil. I'll tell you that every day of the week. But anyways, bless his name. So kind of think about this. How many of you ever watched the movie Facing the Giants about the football team? And they lose, and it's a bad day, and the season's over with. All these things are going on. Then they finally turn around and they say, you know what? We're going to praise God if we win. We're going to praise God if we lose. And they start praising God. And what do? They win every game, right? It's real easy. But then that game they lose. The guy walks in the locker room and goes, I knew he was going to get killed out there today. It's always easy to praise God when it's going your way. But it's when it's not going your way and you realize it's still in the hand of God, we ought to praise him. And so he says, bless his name, show forth his salvation, declare his glory among the heathen. Can I say this morning, church, we've got to learn how to praise God and thank God in the house of God so that when we go outside this house of God, we're stronger in doing it. And I'm not saying that you have to act different. I'm just saying we need to become more of an encouraging, more strengthened in the house of God. We need to be worthy, or not worthy, but we need to be willing to praise God. And you know what? If I can come in here and tell you that God was in control of the situation when I was told no, I can go outside and I can tell the same lost person who says, well, I thought you really wanted it. I can say, yes, but God's in control. You know, we talk about the praises when God blesses us with what we want, but we don't talk about praising God when God doesn't give us what we want. But aren't you glad today that God knows what you need more than what you want? Because a lot of times what we want is not what God knows we need. I'm just being honest with you this morning. So we ought to praise him. It says, declare his glory among the heathen. Let people outside who are lost know how wonderful God is. Why? Because nobody wants to serve a God who's not wonderful. Think about it for a second. Would you want to be saved if somebody saved come up to you and said, you know what? I was praying about this and God didn't let me have it. And I wanted this and God didn't let me have it. And I wanted to go there, but God wouldn't let me go there. I was trying to get this, and God wouldn't let me do this. I mean, just think about it. All you do is say how much God did not let you do a thing. Who wants to serve a God who's a no, 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 no? But you know what you could say? I really wanted this, but God knew better. And I thank God that God knew better than I did, could see further than I could see from a different aspect than what I could see. And God told me no, because all the times that I wanted something that God said no, I praise Him for all the times that I didn't know I needed something and God said yes. And God took care of my needs, right? The Bible says God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory. Who's got more? You or God? Who can do more? You or God? We don't worship God and glorify God the way that we ought to. We don't declare God outside to the heathen. Tell them there is a God. He's a true God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. But He is a just God. He is a jealous God. He is a God of wrath for those who don't obey Him. But here's the good news. All you've got to do is give your life to God. And you know what? They'll look at it and say, well, you're supposed to serve God. Why are you so miserable? You ever thought about that? Christians are typically happy when they get what they want, but not so happy when they don't. Our character, you say, Brother Ernie, is such that we're happier when we're getting the things we like to have or things are going right and stuff. But I'll be honest with you, when things are going wrong, I'm happy God is still with me. I'm still with God. When the ship is being tossed, would you rather have Jesus down in the bow or try to figure out how to lighten the load so you don't sink? Because Jonah tried and did, they've tried to figure out how do we lighten the load so that the ship don't sink. It didn't work. But when the disciples were tossed in the wind, boisterous, and Jesus was asleep, they come unto Him and said, Master, cares not that we perish? What did He tell them? It wasn't going to go down as long as He was on board. He was there with them. They weren't going to sink, but He said, oh, ye of little faith, wherefore doth ye doubt? Why are we afraid when it's not going the way we want it to? It's because we're not thinking about what is it doing that God wants it to. God is worthy of our praise. He said, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. No fear of God anymore, no respect of God anymore. God is what we make Him. And we allow God to do what He wants, what we want Him to do. And we don't allow God to do what He knows He needs to do and should do in our lives, but we don't want that. We only want what pleases us, what pleases our flesh, what pleases our mindset, what fits inside of our box, what's part of our goal and our plan. Worshiping God is worshiping God because of who He is, what He knows. Worshiping God is following Him where He leads us. In having this relationship that we understand that it is God and not ourselves. It's God and not somebody else. Being able to establish in our hearts and our minds discerning the voice between God and the world. That spiritual voice that God has. You know, that little voice we call inside of ourselves, sometimes we say, well, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have been that way. We say, well, that's my conscience. Well, for a child of God, that's the Holy Ghost. You stop and think about it this morning. The Bible says the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. What does that mean about my conscience? I'll put it, I can do all kinds of things to it. It said, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred and people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Now think about it. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. It's due God. You and I have the privilege of being the ones who give it. We have the privilege of the ones who can magnify and glorify and honor God and tell folks it's not, He's not just the God of no, but He's the God of right and wrong. He's the God of can do what is right. He's the God that protects us from that which is wrong. He's a God that is more involved in our lives than we realize. And we realize how involved God wants to be and what God will do and can do in our lives, we're going to be so much better off. We keep shutting God out instead of letting God in. I can honestly tell you, church, this last Sunday, I was talking about Brother Reg Kelly's a sermon on the choosing your king, and we listened to the rest of it on the way home and went home and just sat down and started reading and studying and preparing. And this is what came up to me. I was reading in Psalms and I saw this, and it said, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." It's due God, church. It's due God. What does that mean if it's due? God deserves it. It's time that it happens. How many of you ever pay your rent when it's due? Make your house payment when it's due. Your car payment when it's due. Your insurance when it's due. Your water bill when it's due. Why do we do all these things? We do when they're due because, one, we don't want to give it beforehand, right? I mean, after all, they don't need my money before I do, right? But then on the other side of it, we do when it's due, because if we don't do when it's due, catch up with me here, it'll be late, and if it's late and it don't get there, then what do? They shut it off. You don't have electricity. You don't have water. You don't have gas. They'll come get your car. Your insurance is canceled. Your house can be foreclosed on. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen when you don't make your payments by the due date. And you do it because you know that you owe it. I mean, after all, every child of God, if you create a debt, it's your job, it's your responsibility to pay it. You use the water, pay for the water. You eat the food, pay for the food. You drive the car, pay for the gas, you pay whatever. And you stop and say, "Well, Brother Ernie, that's no different." No, listen to me. We will do that to the things that we want and we feel like we have to have. But what about God? I mean, after all, it says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." Who woke you up this morning? Who allowed you to breathe this morning? Who allowed you to eat this morning? Who allowed you to think this morning? Who allowed you to walk this morning? You drove here. Who allowed you to drive here? Who allowed you to ride in the vehicle that was driven here this morning? By the way, who protected you every time you passed somebody else going the opposite direction, just a few feet away from you? Just be honest. I drove 60 some odd miles down here this morning, 64.9 miles down here. On the average, probably 70 miles an hour, because we're 65 in one area, we're 75 in the other area. Who protected me and my wife all that journey? Who protected our kids all that journey? Who protected our grandkids and all the time? Just stop to think about it this morning. Who's due more, you or God?
There you go.
We always get what we want. We gripe about it if we don't get it. We complain about it if it doesn't happen in our time. But we never think about, what does God get out of this? What is God doing? God allows me to see. God allows me to talk. God allows me to hear. God allows me to breathe. God blessed me with a wife. God blessed me with children. God blessed me with son-in-laws, daughter-in-law. God blessed me with grandchildren. God blessed me with a church. God is worthy of glory. God is due praise. God is due honor. You know, I think about every time my kids get in a vehicle and drive any place. Thank you, God, for getting there safely. When I get to church, thank you, God. I pray over my food and I thank God for my food. I thank God for my snacks. I mean, I just stop and thank God when you say, "Brother Ernie, you're so..." No, listen to me. I don't do it like I should all the time. But when I do that, I just stop and think, how much more should I do for God? How much more honor should God get? How much more glory should God get? deserves it, church.
Amen.
He deserves it. How many of you get up and go to work in the morning and just think about this? How many of you would have got up when you were working and go to work if you knew at the end of the day or whenever pay period come around that they were not going to pay you? I mean, let's think about it for a second. You get up, you go to work. I don't care how many hours you work at the end of the day or in the week. Whenever pay time comes around, there's no pay. And they say, well, you know what? I should have, but I didn't. Why not? Well, I just didn't feel like it. Want to go out and work another week? I tell you right now, what I tell them, no, I'm going to go find me a job that pays. Wonder what God would do. How we'd feel if God did that to us. You ever stop thinking about what God does every day, and yet the Bible says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. What is our offerings? I thought about that. What is our offerings? Look at this. What does we say, well, Brother Ernie, you know, offerings, what you give above your tithes. You pay your tithes and then you got an offering. Is it all about finances, by the way? I mean, should you pay your tithes? Yes. God give it to you. Give God back what He asked you to give. He'll bless the 90 better than you'll ever spend the 10. Give Him an offering, yes. But what is an offering? Chapter 107 of the book of Psalms. We read this one here while back. And I'll just skip through there. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works unto the children of men. And that's repeated throughout the passage. Verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for the wonderful works to the children of men. You can go through there and look at all that they've done. And what does God really, really, really want? He just wants us to praise Him and love Him. I want to tell you something. The more you praise God, the more you love God, the more you do for God, the easier it is to do what you do. And you won't look at something and go, you know what? Well, you know, God said I had to do that, and I think I really don't want to do that. Instead, you'll be going, I'm glad that I can do these things for God because God has done so much for me, so much more for me. Who died for you, by the way? For scarcely for a righteous man die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Men have served our country. Thank Brother Danny for his service. But men have served, women have served. They died for our country, protecting our freedoms and our rights, our liberties, we say. But think about this. Jesus died because of our sins. Who's due glory? Psalms chapter 29. Verse 1, give unto the Lord, O you mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, how many of you think God's weak? Man, I don't. But what is He saying? Think about what Matthew said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. With all thy mind. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but rather be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Perfect will of God. Think about it just a second. What is God asking for? To be glorified for who He is. What He's done. To be worshipped and honored because He alone is worthy of that, by the way. You ever thought about this? You do something and nobody notices it. And later on you say, well, I ain't doing that again. Nobody cared. You ever thought about it? You know how many times I've walked in the house and Netta had done something, she cleaned and moved stuff around or something like that, and she said, you never even noticed it, did you? Nope. Other times she'd say, well, I did it, and I said, I seen it. All she wanted was a little acknowledgement over what was done. Have I ever done that to her? You know I have. She'll tell you. You know one of the greatest joys I get right now is waking up every morning, going to the kitchen, and fixing her breakfast. And she'll say, well, I need to fix your breakfast. You're the one getting up. No, I enjoy it. As long as I know what she wants, I enjoy getting up, going there, and fixing breakfast. Why do I do it? Why is it such a joy? Because that woman is more valuable to me than anybody else in this world. And that includes my kids and my grandkids. I've heard people say, your grandkids come first. Let me tell you something. If there was a choice between eating bread and having something to eat and diet, I'll feed them first. But I loved her first, and I love her most. And I will not let them abuse her. She wants to whip them, go for it. They want to whip her, ain't happening. Who has greater joy taking care of me every day? My wife or my God? What greater joy is it in my life? Is it getting breakfast for my wife or getting up every morning to be able to say to God, thank you. You kept me safe as I slept through the night and did not know what was going on. You woke me up this morning. I mean, just stop to think about it. Who's due glory? We get upset when people don't recognize what we do. How does God feel? Well, Brother Ernie, apparently he's mad at me. He's got you telling me that this morning. He was mad at me too. You say mad, hurt, disappointed, whatever. No, I tell you the truth. What it is God just wants us to realize people don't want to serve a God that nobody talks about. Nobody's going to get converted to a God who never does anything right. Who's going to tell the heathen, by the way, that's your job, and my job? Declare His glory. Declare His works among the heathen. Who's the heathen? That's the lost person. How many times have we said, well, God just didn't want to do it, or I prayed about it and it didn't happen? But when's the last time you went and told people how good God was? How loving God was? What a blessing it is to be saved and serving God. What an opportunity to wake up on a Sunday morning and go to the house of God and have the strength and ability on Sunday night to come back to the house of God. On a Wednesday, get together again with God. I thought about this the other night, and I thought, I should have done it last night. I didn't do it. I should have done it. Is God worthy of doing it? Absolutely, He's worthy of doing it. I should have just broke in last night and told somebody about Jesus, right? I thought about it this morning when I woke up, and the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, right? If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. I thought about this. Why didn't God say, well, if Abraham's people, or if Moses' people, or Isaac's people, or Jacob's people? Because He was talking to His people. You ever realize how much credit we give to a man and how little credit we'll give to God? You ever invited somebody to come to the church? And they said, where's that at? You say, oh, well, it's Brother Pixley's church. They knew right where it was. back home. You ever been on the Calvary? Where's that at? Well, Brother Clark's church. Oh, yeah. Brother Brian's church. Brother Jeremy's church in Dyer now. Or Brother Stacy Blind's church. Brother Lloyd Shore's church. Or think about Brother Lonnie Burks' church in Harrison. How many of us know the man, but we don't know the church sometimes? But if you tell them where the man is, they know where that is, but they don't know where the house of God is without where... Do you get where I'm going, church? Who's this belong to? Did it belong to us or God? You say, well, brother, aren't you the pastor? They know this. Listen to me, church. Who's due the glory? Why is the man so popular? Because he's getting the glory for what God is doing most of the time. He's this kind of a pastor. He's this kind of a preacher. He's this. And man, this is happening. That's happening. All about him. And I know some of these fellows, and I'll tell you, there's a few of them who don't want that kind of glory. And there's a few of them who'll take it. But the truth of the matter, the glory is due to God. You woke up this morning, God gets the credit for that. Not your alarm clock. Think about it. Who gave you the ability, if you got up and took a shower, to use the soap and wash? I mean, after all, how many of us can, you know what I'm saying? Still got the ability to lift my foot high enough to wash the bottom of it. Think about these things. Well, we're older, Brother Ernie. We can't do this. We can't do that. Sister Dean, I'm not picking on your age, but you drove yourself here this morning. Not because you had a license so long, but because God gave you the ability to do it.
Yeah, or left the house and said, God, help me get to church.
And he did. I thank him all the time for the safety that he gives me in driving. He gives my kids in driving. My fellow employees. The protection that he gives us as we go out day to day and do our jobs. Brother Danny, how many times you run that tractor over that field there? Hit a bump. There's a few bumps in the field. Don't fall off the tractor. Don't get run over. You say, whoa, what? Listen to me. God's watching over us so many times we don't even realize it. Think about the kids running down the street on their bicycles. Going from point A to point B. And by the way, when they're that little, they don't care who you are. They don't care what you're driving. They're going to their friend's house, or they're going to this house. They're not watching for you. You know what? God deserves the credit for you not running over a child. Oh, man, I tell you what, if I hadn't hit my brakes when I did, I'd have run them over. If God hadn't gave you the ability to hit your brakes when you did, see the things you seen when you did, and do, I mean, listen to me, church. We cut God out of it so often, and yet God is the center of it. He's the reason for it. Give unto the Lord Almighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. I'll tell you the truth. With all that God has done for me, it's very sad how little I've done for Him. And I'm so thankful this morning that God didn't throw His hands up and just say, you know what, I'm done. Ernie, you ain't doing what I want you to do. You ain't glorifying me the way you ought to. I'm done. Instead, what He does is He opens me up and He shows me this Word, and I read in the Bible, and He says, hey, Ernie, son, Just give me the glory I do. God's due all the glory, church. You and I will feel better glorifying God than we will feel glorifying one another. When you get a heart of praise and a mind of praise, you'll be happier. You'll feel better. The days look better. Oh yes, they're hard. But at the end of the day, you'll sit back and you'll thank God for what He got you through. You'll thank Him for what He protected you from. And you'll even get to the point where we'll sit there and we'll say, you know what, God? I'm so grateful that You're so smarter, so much smarter than I am. I'm glad You know how to say no. Ain't nothing worse than a baby throwing a fit to get their way, right? Oh, I tell you what, it's kind of cute when they're little, but it gets a little older as they get a little older. And you know what? The older we get, the bigger fit we throw. Just think about it. Be honest with you. Once you get past that little bitty age, you ought to be ashamed of throwing a fit. Have you grown out of it yet, Brother Ernie? No. No, I haven't. But hopefully, maybe today I will. Would you stand this morning? Father, today, Lord, You alone are worthy of praise. You alone are worthy of glory. And yet, dear God, we know, Father, there's things in our lives and times in our lives, dear God, when we desire the accolade, the thank yous. But dear God, this morning, if I want it so much for me, why would I not want it for You? Why would it not be more important to thank You and glorify You? To give You all the accolade. Father, help us to be better. Help me to be better. Without You, I can do nothing. Without You, I'm lost. So Lord, today, thank You. Help me, Father, be an example, Lord, to the heathen. Help me be an encourager to the saved. Father, today we just pray Your will be done in our lives, and our lives being Your will. We ask You, Lord, these things in Christ's name. Does anybody this morning want to come and pray before we dismiss?